Father God, just want to give our deepest gratitude to you as you are God Almighty, the living God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no word can express how great you are and how we are thankful for you. Just being our creator and our sustainer and our redeemer, we'd like to give all our heart and mind and strength and our soul to praise you and to love you. We ask your Holy Spirit to come over us and hover over us and touch each one's heart today so that we know your plan and your glory and your will upon our life. We commit our heart to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. let me ask this question. Who is Jesus to you? And more importantly, how do you show your love for Jesus? To some of us, Jesus may be just like a magic box from whom we get what we want and of whom we take advantage. If you are like some of those who consider Jesus as a magic box, Jesus is actually a means to achieve your goal. He is far from the object of your worship. But to some of us, Jesus is really the sole object of worship in and of himself. Jesus is important to you, not as the channels of blessing, but as your Savior and Lord and Son of God, worthy of all your life. Very few think they are the former, those who take advantage of Jesus, who can satisfy their felt need, provision, blessings. Many people think they are the latter, those who are genuine worshipers of Jesus. To which group do you think you belong? Who is Jesus to you? And this question may still be abstract for us to answer until we ask for ourselves a more concrete question like this: how do I show my love for Jesus? So we are going to find answer for this question from ourselves, from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, this morning. If you will, would you please turn with me to John 12? We are going to read verses 1 through 8. John 12, 1 through 8. And here is the word of God. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. And Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary, therefore, took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Jesus therefore said, "Let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." This episode recorded what happened at Bethany during Jesus' last visit to Jerusalem. In about 6 days, there will be a Passover. This means Jesus will die on that day on the cross. There are a couple of important backgrounds of this story. The first one is, Jesus knew that his D-Day was approaching. Jesus foretold to his disciples that he would have to die to bear the sins of the world. This week, Jesus knew that God's appointed time for his crucifixion has finally come and that he would die in a few days. Second background we need to understand is Jesus was made an outlaw by the religious authorities. If you look at last verse of John chapter 11:56, it says, "Therefore they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, 'What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?'" So Jesus has become the most wanted man in Judea and Jerusalem. Officially, whoever catches him, they will be rewarded. What has triggered this was the miracle Jesus performed not too long ago at Bethany to make dead man Lazarus alive. When ex-dead man was walking around in the town, many people believed in Jesus by large numbers. No one really had to convince them to believe in Jesus because they saw this ex-dead man walking around the cities. So as a result of that, the religious leaders really wanted to, this time, to kill Jesus, who was the biggest threat for keeping their power. So in spite of the risk and danger, Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. And an irony is that he will be the real Passover lamb. The Passover in the Old Testament was just the sign that points to the real Passover lamb, who is Jesus Christ. So the purpose of this trip was to save the sinners by dying on the cross. And en route to Jerusalem, Jesus stopped by again Bethany, which was located 2 miles off Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. You know, not too long ago, maybe a few weeks ago, Jesus made Lazarus arise from the dead. Ex-dead man is now a living man. And Jesus loved the family of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And 6 days before his death, Jesus wanted to see them for the last time. Let's look at verse 2. "So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him." So dinner party was taking place. If you just read Gospel of John, we think that this might have been at Lazarus' house at Bethany. But there is a similar account in Matthew and Luke, especially Matthew 26 and Mark 14. If you read the similar story in that Gospels, Jesus actually made a visit to the house of Simon the leper. In that dinner, there was Lazarus, an ex-dead man, and Simon, ex-leper, along with Mary and Martha and the disciples of Jesus. Surprise to us, Martha was serving while Lazarus was reclining at the table with Jesus. I'd like to contrast the way Martha loved Jesus to the way Mary loved Jesus. They are great sisters, but the way they loved Jesus was quite different. You know, Martha loved Jesus by her service. The word served in this gospel, John, diakoneo. Diakoneo is actually a verb, a form of diakonos, which is deacon in English word. It's a serving the table connotation. So Martha's love language is her service. She loved to minister to others, and she was a practical person. The only way in which she could show her love was by the work of her hands and feet. While she was preparing for the table, her sister Mary was doing a different thing for Jesus. Look at verse 3. Mary therefore took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You know, Mary loved Jesus in a very different way. Mary was the one who loved to sit around Jesus and listen to his sermon in the previous case. And this time, she brought a very expensive perfume of pure nard and poured it out to the feet of Jesus and wiped out with her hair. You know, it was just enough to drop a few drops of perfume that can make the whole house fill with fragrance. But Mary took a pound, the entire pound. A pound is a 16-ounce big Coke bottle. Is about 24 ounces. So you can see how big that the container must have been. In each to contain 16 pounds of 16 ounces of nard. So Mary must have brought a perfume jar, alabaster jar, which was quite sizable. And according to Matthew 26:7, it was actually in an alabaster jar. She took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard in a jar. That's a lot of pure perfume, pure fragrant oil. And nard was a very rare herb grown in the high pasture in the northern China near Tibet and India, according to John MacArthur. And it was likely one of the most rare and expensive imports of the time. And some commentators actually believe that this perfume was her dowry. The money saved up so that money can be brought by the bride to her husband on their marriage. We need to understand the first century Palestine culture. It was the bride who needed to pay dowry to the future husband. I don't know why, but that was the case. For those who have a lot of daughters, that's a nightmare living in the first century Palestine. But 21st century, it's a different, maybe reverse, right? But anyhow, and I believe it is very likely that Mary saved up her money to have brought this expensive perfume all her life so that one day she would be able to pay her dowry to her husband-to-be for marriage. And as you see that, they are the pageants, and it's very difficult to save up money because, you know, you cannot get much out of your crop. And there could be a drought, and there could be bad years and rains and, different weather conditions. So it's very difficult for pageants to save up any money, by the way. But she somehow managed that, and she brought her treasure, so to speak, at the presence of Jesus. You know, if this perfume was indeed her dowry, she was risking her marriage just to wash Jesus' feet. She could have used water to wash Jesus' feet as was the custom. So Mary defined her love for Jesus in three dimensions in this story. The first dimension is her love is extravagant love. You know, extravagant means you don't have restraint. Love is not love if it calculates the cost. You know, the cost of perfume was about 300 denarii, according to Judah's estimate. You know, Judah is a lover of money, so this must have been the right estimate. 300 denarii worth. One denarius was a day's wage for an average worker. So if you work 300 days out of 365 days, 300 denarii could well be a year's wage. So Mary gave away her entire annual salary, so to speak, to Jesus. How much do you make in a year? Whatever that number, that much money worth, she was willing to give to Jesus. And if it was indeed her dowry, it was more than just a lot of money. She was giving away her marriage. She was risking her marriage. No man would take a woman without dowry in the first century. And at the moment, to Mary, Jesus was as valuable as her groom-to-be, if not more valuable. Do you know what? I believe to Mary, Jesus is worthy for her treasure. You know, what is your treasure? You know, treasure is something that you don't want to release. You want to hold on to it in your hands. What about that be? That can be, in practical terms, your property, your savings account, or your retirement plan, or it could be 401k for those who participate in 401k. Whatever that be, that is your treasure. Something that which you don't want to give away. And whatever is your most valuable treasure you are thinking about now, can you give that treasure away for Jesus? This is a very hard question. If you are willing to do that, think about the consequence of doing that. It would cost something to you. The cost can be your retirement, your security, even your future itself. I believe what cost Mary by giving her perfume away on behalf of Jesus was the same magnitude as your quote-unquote treasure. What about that be? Because she was giving away all she had, all she cherished as the most valuable one in her life. But there are second aspect, second dimension of Mary's love, which is humble. Her love was very humble love. It was a sign of honor to anoint a person's head. If you read Psalm 23:5, the Lord is anointing the head of the psalmist. But for Mary, she did not anoint Jesus' head. Instead, she anointed Jesus' feet. She never dreamed she was able to look up her head to see Jesus face to face. She put her head down and anointed Jesus' feet with her hair and expensive perfume. In Jesus' days, slaves washed the feet of the master or the guest with water because they were wearing sandals on the dusty road. So when they gathered for dinner, the slave showed up and brought jars of water and washed their feet. And the servant was as low as a person can be in the society. But for Mary, she was using her hair to wash Jesus' feet, and Mary was putting herself even lower than the typical servants or slaves. You know, these days, people don't want to use the word slave, but the slavery was actually part of the culture in the first century. And then she put herself, Mary put herself even lower than what a slave can be. So her love was very humble love. And then there's another one. Mary's love was unself-conscious love. Unself-conscious love. Mary wiped Jesus' feet with the hair of her head. In Palestine in the first century, no respectable woman would ever appear in public with her hair unbound. And only immoral women would do that, like prostitutes. But Mary never even thought of that. She wouldn't care a bit even if people might have thought of her as an indecent woman. She wanted the house to be filled with the fragrance, with the ointment, because Jesus was in the house. And what is more fragrant than the perfume itself was the Mary's heart itself, filled with her love for Jesus. Now, let us change the gear a little bit to look at Judas. Judas is another important actor in this story. Look at verses 4 and 5. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" You know, Judas thought the perfume poured out to Jesus' feet was just a total waste. He pointed out the money for the perfume can be spent for the poor, but this was just a pretense. He was a greedy man. Greed was his operating system, so to speak. He looked at everything from his operating system, which is love of money. He measured everything by money. He did not think Jesus is worthy for this expensive fragrance. He actually sold Jesus for 30 silver coin, which was typical payment to buy a slave in the first century. You know, Judas did not give anything away for Jesus, by the way. Instead, he gained out of Jesus. The Gospel out of John describes Judas as a thief. Look at verse 6. "Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box he used to pilfer what was put into it." So Judas was a greedy man. He would not give away anything for the poor, nor for Jesus. Judas is a symbol of people who already think, "What can I get out of this? How much profit I can make out of this?" You know, he figured that he could earn 30 silver coin out of Jesus. You know, whatever the words of that, he desired to make a little more profit from every angle. The story makes us think, what kind of love we have for Jesus? Your love for Jesus, first of all, depends on who you believe Jesus is. You know, remember this event took place right after Jesus' miracle of raising the dead. You know, Jesus declared that he is the resurrection and the life, and Mary believed that, and moreover, Mary witnessed with her own eye that her dead brother was made alive by the work of Jesus. You know, she also knew that Jesus will be resurrected from his own death. And eternal life was real to her. Resurrection was a certainty to her as well. You know, who made her a dead brother alive? Jesus did. Who would give her eternal life? Jesus would. You know, that is the words of Jesus to Mary. Jesus, in and of himself, who is the Son of God, is worthy of all her praise. Not just because Jesus did something to her, but she believed in Jesus that way. You know, by the way, the words of Jesus experienced by Mary should be the same words of Jesus to you and me. You know, the words of Jesus experienced by Mary should have been the same by Judas Iscariot as well. But what made Judas not see the same Jesus as Mary did? Because Judas, like Mary, heard all the sermons of Jesus, and then he was there when Lazarus was made alive, just as Mary saw. But what made the difference for Judas? You know, for Judas, it was his greed, the love of money. Love of money makes a man blind. Jesus is our Redeemer, and Jesus is our Savior who redeemed our sins, and Jesus paid for your sins and my sins. And he became our sins, and he is also risen from the dead. He is a risen Christ. And he ascended into heaven. You know why that's important? Why resurrection should be the final event, but we have ascension. When Jesus ascended into heaven, that is actually coronation. Jesus has become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords officially by being ascended from earth to heaven. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will come to judge the world, and he will create a new heaven and new earth, and he will define his kingdom of God and everything in it. And he is our shepherd in all eternity. That's the words of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Do you believe all these truths about Jesus? It is quite often that our agreement and faith would not necessarily define our love for Jesus, unfortunately. You know, in our head, we know all this. But does that really express in the way you love Jesus Christ? Maybe not. Just like Judas Iscariot. How lavish is your love for Jesus? How do you express your love for Jesus? Honestly. You know, there are many ways we think we can love Jesus, but the story tells us a key barometer of how we can measure our love for Jesus. And that key barometer that really measure our love for Jesus is what we are willing to give away to love Jesus, our offering. For Mary, it was an expensive perfume, which was perhaps all her life savings for her marriage. That was truly her treasure, and she was willing to give away just to love Jesus. It cost that much for Mary. But what about Martha? You know, she gave her service to Jesus. Wouldn't that also a good way to express her love? Of course. But let me give you one more Bible verse reference. Matthew 26:13, Jesus said of Mary, I truly say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her. You know, Jesus did not really, praise Martha's service. And of course, I believe that Jesus took it positively, but compared to Martha's service and Mary's perfume, Jesus made Matthew 26:13 statement. You know, whatever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman, Mary, has done for me shall be spoken of in memory of her, because she is the icon of how we can really love Jesus. You know, she gave away her treasure. She exchanged her potential marriage just to love Jesus. I'd like to share this one final statement. Your offering tells how much you love Jesus. You know, whether you like it or not, I believe this is what Jesus is saying. Your offering. I mean, you can love Jesus in different ways. Time spent and, other stuff, but this is the primary thing, according to Jesus. Your offering tells how much you love Jesus. You're not talking about the absolute amount of money, but whatever is your treasure, are you willing to exchange for loving Jesus? Are you willing to give away that treasure just to love Jesus? That is the measure. It can be one silver coin for those who have only one silver coin. That's a treasure. And the widow, gave away that silver coin. And for her, Jesus would honor her just as he would for Mary. You know, if your offering costs you little, that is how little you love Jesus. You know, if your offering costs you much, you know, that is how much you love Jesus. You know, your offering to Jesus is the most objective barometer that can measure your love for Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. The weight training develops the strength and the size of skeletal muscles. It utilizes the force of gravity in the form of weighted bars and dumbbells and weight stack. You know, I do weighting a little bit. perhaps two times a week. I try to do some exercise doing this waiting. And then, you know, depending on the weight stack you decide on, you know, someday it doesn't impact you at all because it's too light. But as you increase your weight stack, you know, you begin to feel the pain because you have to pull. Your strength may not be there, but you try to pull it and it hurts you. And then by doing so, you develop your muscle. You know, if you don't feel pain in your body when you put up some weight stack, then it does not do any good to you. And you need to increase the weight stack to really feel the pain in your muscle. You know, our offering is like that. The measure of pain you feel in your finance when you give Jesus your offering, that is the measure of your love for Him. You know, if it doesn't mean anything to you, that's, you know, how little you love. You may give $1 million offering, but if you're a billionaire, that $1 million doesn't feel your pain. You get the point? But if you have a $10 in your savings account, you give away $1 out of that $10, you feel the pain because you give away 10%. You know, love must be sacrificial. And Jesus Himself sacrificed His own love, His own life to save us. The measure of Jesus' pain He felt when He loved us cost everything He got. It was the very death on the cross He had to experience because He loved us so much. And it was a real pain to Jesus, was it not? But the pain Jesus endured for us is how much He loves us, and it was a joyful pain. It's oxymoron, joyful pain, but it was actually joyful pain because He was saving the sinners you and like, you know, sinners like you and me. Although He endured excruciating pain physically and also cannot even measure because at that moment He was separated from God, His own Father. But He endured it for the joy of salvation. And your pain in your offering is also your joy because you love Him. And you also know that your offering to Jesus is the treasure that will not lose its value in all eternity. If you truly believe the eternity, that's your treasure in heaven. You know, this morning I was listening to Here I Am to Worship, one of the Hillsong, the music. And it said, I will never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I will never know how much it cost for Jesus. We truly can because we are finite. His cost He paid was infinite. But He endured for His own pain to give us His joy of salvation. And that is how much He loved us. So be generous to Jesus as He is very generous to you. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, we can truly fathom in our mind what You have gave away, what You have given away to each one of us to save so that we have hope of eternity and we have this life eternal that can we live now and forevermore. Lord Jesus, You are worthy and You are truly worthy of all things and all our life. And we just want to thank You for Your sacrificial love that cannot be compared with anything that we can think of. And Lord, we want to truly express, Your love for us by you know, truly giving away our treasure to you, to transfer our treasure in your hands. We'd like to experience that joy of pain, but the true joy that cannot be compared with anything else, because that's what you have shown to each one of us. And Holy Spirit, help us to count our days and how fragile, how finite we are. And while we are still walking on the earth, Father, give us wisdom to count our days on earth and also count eternity, what it means to live in all eternity in your kingdom with your Son Jesus Christ. Give us that heavenly perspective on each one of us so that we will be able to lavishly give away what our treasure is from our hands to your hand, to truly enjoy this freedom, the freedom that you imparted to each one of us along with your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Receive our adoration. receive our adoration.
Receive our adoration, Jesus, Lamb of God. Receive our adoration. How wonderful you are.
You know, if you do not believe Jesus yet, call upon his name today so that you'll be saved by his grace through your faith. Father, we thank you for gathering us this beautiful Sunday morning. You remind us that we are not the driver of our own life, but you are. Lord Jesus, you are the driver and we are the passenger. We'd like to release the control of our life into your hands. We'd like to surrender our most important, valuable treasure into your hands so that we would really experience the security that only is available in Jesus Christ. As we go out to this world, let each day be lived in full hope of your coming, and also in full surrender of releasing our control into your hands so that we would truly live in peace and in security, and only you can give. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our God who is heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.